Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jason. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So what do you call an angry carrot?
Your mom.
Security. Security. Esteemed vegetable. Has anybody ever played silent tennis? It's the same game, just without the racket. Percy stole my thunder. Let's posture our hearts together. Father, we come before you today in Jesus' name. We thank you for your precious, holy, written word. We thank you that it's your word that's a lamp unto our feet, that it's your word that's a light unto our path. And we thank you that it's your spirit that's our teacher today. And that he doesn't just give us information, but he brings revelation that makes available transformation. And we thank you that by your grace we can be doers of your word, and in so doing we can be blessed. Prepare our hearts to hear from you today. Give us eyes that are open and a spirit of wisdom and understanding in the knowledge of you, Lord Jesus. And it's in your name we pray, Jesus. And everyone said, amen. So we're picking up where we left off. excuse me. We're in a series called How to Change. And we've been talking about what we call the ecosystem of maturity. We create environments. The church's job is to create environments where you can mature spiritually. That's how you change. Our role as a church is to create the environments in which you can change. Because the purpose of our church, what is the purpose of our church? The purpose of our church is to see people transformed by Jesus. We exist to see people transformed by Jesus. It's not about being the best church in town, the biggest church in town, the fanciest, the most sexy Jesus church in town. It's about people having a real experience with Jesus Christ, and in that experience, their lives are transformed. And the church exists to create environments. Let's throw up the three environments. To create environments, worship, community, and serving. And in these environments, we mature. We grow up. We become transformed by Jesus. Church is not an event you attend. It's a family you belong to. And within that family, you mature, you grow up. Amen? And so last week, you know, we started with worship, and last week we talked about community, and we shared with you, the covenant. We have a leadership covenant here that extends to everyone from the leadership all the way down. It's a covenant we live by: honor, unity, and trust. Honor meaning... honor is a two-way street here, which it doesn't just mean you honor me or one of the leaders and you show us honor. We're going to earn your honor by showing you honor on the front end. Right. We're going to honor you. Right. Does that make sense? And honor just means you carry a lot of weight with me. Right. You matter. You belong. You carry a lot of weight with me. So there's honor, and it's the foundation. We're going to honor you. We're going to honor one another. You're going to carry a lot of weight around here. You're going to carry a lot of weight with us. But then there's unity, and unity doesn't mean uniformity. That doesn't mean we all look the same and talk the same and clap the same and laugh the same and jump at the same time. It doesn't mean uniformity. Unity means, first of all, you belong before you believe and before you behave. But if you do belong, we make safe spaces for people to belong, but once you begin to hook in and belong in this ecosystem, you begin to mature. Then you start to believe the right things. Then you start to behave the right ways, but you belong first. So unity doesn't mean uniformity, and it doesn't mean that we're not ever going to have disagreements. What it means is, I'm going to find common ground because I honor you, because you carry weight with me, because it's not about my preference or my opinion. It's about Jesus and you knowing him and being transformed by him. And he made you different than me. We're not going to agree, but what we are going to do because of honor and because of unity is we're going to seek common ground. Amen? And then trust. We talked about trust. Honor, unity, and trust. You have to trust us enough to let us pastor you. We have to trust you enough to let you take charge of things so we're not doing everything. That's the way it works. And so we talked about that community and how we build that community. Today, we are dealing with serving. So it's worship. There's the worship component. Then there's the community component. And today we're going to talk about serving. Now, before we get into serving, I just want to tell you what we mean by serving. Let me share the heart behind serving with you. A lot of places, has anybody been to a very unhealthy church? I have several times. Yeah, everybody, right? A lot of times serving is getting you to get a job done. That is not serving. We call them grow teams for a reason. Serving in our house, serving in our community is about identifying the gifts that God put on the inside of you, and then finding an environment for that gift to be able to grow and for you to be able to use that gift so that you grow into the person that God created and redeemed you to be. Again, everything we do is about you being transformed by Jesus. It's not about your do. It's about your who. It's about who you're becoming. It's about maturing into the person that God created and redeemed you to be. And for you to have all those gifts flourishing and growing in your life. Are you with me? So let's go to Ephesians. There's so much here in Ephesians. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. So we're going to talk about three things, okay? When we talk about serving in the context of Victory Life Church and our ecosystem of maturity, serving is we serve one another, we serve the city, the community, and in so doing, we become a servant like Jesus. So at the very basis of it, it's an identity. Remember, real change only happens at the level of identity. And in serving one another and learning how to do that, and in serving our community and learning how to do that, we become like Jesus, who didn't come to be served, but came to serve. Are you with me? So it's not about ticking checks. It's not about checking boxes and getting things done. It's not about that. It's not about getting the job done, having a great service, and everybody watching this online. It's about people, you with your bottom in the seat, you having an interaction with Jesus every time you're here in the ecosystem of maturity where you are transformed by Jesus in your connection with his house. That's how it's designed and that's how he designed it. So let's look at the word here. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church. So church leadership isn't just about getting the business of church done. Church leadership is about equipping you, again, you serving, us identifying gifts and talents in your life, and then developing those so that then you can do the work of the ministry and grow into the person that God created and redeemed you to be. Are you with me? To build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith, there's the unity, and the knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature, there it is, in the Lord. It's all about a maturity process, right? Now watch this, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Now that's scary, right? Because that sounds like I have to measure up to something. And I really don't like this translation, but when we say measuring up to the full standard of Christ, what we mean is becoming everything that he called you to be. Right? I want to be everything he died for me to be. I want to have everything he died for me to have. And I'm not going to dishonor his death by leaving things on the table. If he makes me a plate, I'm going to eat the whole thing. Are you with me? That's what measuring up to the standard of Christ is. Who you are capable of being in him. Amen? Measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer, there it is again, be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love. Everybody say love.
Love.
We will speak the truth in love. Some people are just like, well, I'm going to tell the truth. I'm going to tell the truth, right? And some people are like, well, we're just going to love them. We're just going to love them. No, no, no. You need both. It's like scissors. If you want to cut straight, you need both blades. Right? You speak the truth, but you do it in love. Amen? Now watch this. Instead, we will speak the truth. So there's a God. You're going to see there's a God side and a man side to this. Listen, there is a God side and a man side to every subject in the Bible. We teach the God side first because then it makes the man side a whole lot easier. When you know he's doing the heavy lifting, you make the choice, he makes the change. Are you with me? But watch this, we work together with him. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. How does he do that? Watch this now. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts to grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Love. You see it? And so when we talk about, you know, we're talking about like how the body works. And so we all fit together. And, you know, sometimes you rub people the wrong way. You just do. And sometimes people rub you the wrong way. But it's not about us getting along all the time. Again, that's why unity is. We find common ground because you belong and because I belong. And I might not even like you, and you might not like me. But you know, I love Jesus, and I'm so crazy about Jesus that whatever he loves, I love. If he loves you, out of my love for him, I can put up with you. Are you with me? Until I grow into a place where I see you through his eyes, and then I have compassion on you, which compassion is, yes, Lord, I will, thank you. So think about this. Anytime that Jesus ever did miracles or did the work of the ministry, it said he was moved with compassion and he healed them. Sometimes when somebody's rubbing you the wrong way, you need to ask for Jesus's compassion. And you know what compassion is? Compassion is you feeling their hurt in your heart. You seeing their plight through his eyes. Are you with me? We're the body of Christ. And it's all about being transformed by him, becoming more like him. So if I'm becoming more like him, I'm going to treat his sheep the way he would treat his sheep. Right? Are you with me? And notice that it all culminates in love. You know what? I'm going to have to take a left. Darren, will you look up 1 Corinthians chapter 13 in the New King James Version? I would like that whole chapter, please, in just a moment. Let me move on to my first point. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He's moving in this place today. He's going to talk to us today. So we start by serving one another, right? We want to grow into a servant. We want to be a servant like he is a servant, right? But in order to do that, we have to serve one another. We have to serve our community. And it's in doing that, in the operation of that, that we learn and mature and become more like him. So serving one another is the first thing. Now watch this. Peter, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. Watch this now. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8. It says, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Now let's stop. We got to stop and talk about that. First, he says, above all. What does that mean? Top of the list, first priority. What's your first priority? Love one another. Love one another. Because love covers a multitude of sins. Now, how often have you been in a church, and I grew up in a church like this, where they were trying to uncover my sins? Right? And we're not talking, right? I'm just being real with y'all. Am I real? They're trying to but I'm reading, I didn't write this. I didn't write that. Above all, love one another earnestly. And you know that word earnestly? In the New King James, it says fervently love one another. The Greek word for fervently, it means to stretch. You know what? Walking in love is going to stretch you. Are you with me? But it says, above all, love one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. What we do a lot of times in church culture is we make everything not about being transformed by Jesus, but about sin. Right? And then we all come into, and that's just the enemy lying to you. The enemy lying to you. Think about all the way back in the garden. We come into church and cover ourselves with fig leaves, trying to pretend that everything is okay, that I don't have any issues, or that I'm not struggling with anything. And it's just a fig leaf. Look at Genesis. God said, "Where are you?" "Oh, we're here." "Oh. Why are you wearing fig leaves?" "Well, we saw that we were naked. And we hid because we were ashamed." Hiding from God because you're ashamed. Wearing fig leaves in front of other people because you're ashamed. God said, "Who told you you were naked?" The enemy is a liar. He cannot tell the truth. He's the father of lies. And he will lie to you about the sin that he tempted you into. So we're not talking about love covers a multitude of sins. I never said condone, right? But what did God do? They tried to cover it with fig leaves. God said no. He made a sacrifice and he covered their nakedness with a lamb. We ought to be not trying to uncover everyone's sin. We ought to be covering their sin with the grace of Jesus. Read the rest of the verse. Love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's very grace. Of God's very grace. So that word varied there, it means multicolored. It's variegated. It means the grace on your life and the grace on my life it's gonna look different. It's gonna look different, but we serve each other as a steward of God's grace. Unearned, undeserved, unmerited favor and blessing from God. Love covers a multitude of sins because I'm going to work by using my gifts. He's given us a little picture of how that works, how to cover a multitude of sins. Well, first of all, you love them. Secondly, you allow that gift that's in you to operate to serve them so that they can get the grace of God on their life and in their life so that they can then begin to transform. Are you with me? What does that look like, Pastor Will? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm going to take a little bit of a left. This is not in my notes, so just bear with me. But we're going to make room for the Holy Spirit here. We are going to allow the Holy Spirit to be the teacher here. And that means sometimes we have to take a left. Look at this. I find it interesting that people want revival across the nation. And they want to see another great move of the Holy Spirit. But if you read in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 12 is a definition of all the spiritual gifts and the manifestations of how the Spirit works. It's the definition of the gifts. Then sandwiched right in the middle is 1 Corinthians 13, which is the motivation for the gifts. It's not to have a big splash. The motivation is love. And then chapter 14 is the operation, the proper operation of those gifts. Are you with me? But what's the best part of the sandwich? The bread? The bread is good. You can have great bread on a sandwich. But what's the best part? Are you with me? Love is right in the middle of that. Love. And if we would start to walk in love more, I don't know if anybody watches me or notices me, but a lot of times I'll be up here worshiping and I'll just turn around and look out over the crowd. I'm not counting. I don't care. I'll preach the same to four of you. And I've done it before, so y'all know. It's that I'm loving. I'm looking and I'm looking at the sheep over the which God has given me charge. And I'm watching his faithfulness and I'm tapping into his love for you so that when I come up here, I'm loving you in what I do. My gift isn't for me. It's for you. Does that make sense? Anyways, let's look at this now. He says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels and I have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. So question, can you have a gift operating, but you have the wrong motivation? Right? And this says you're just making noise. You're just being noisy now. Good night. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge and have all faith so as to remove mountains, but I have not love. Now question, did it say the faith didn't work? Did it say the gifts didn't work? What does it say? I am nothing. We're talking about the kind of person you're becoming. Are you with me? And if I give away all I have and deliver my body to be burned, but I have not love, I gain nothing. Now watch this now. Oh, we're about to get into it now. Love is patient. Got me on the first one. Love is patient. You know what that means? You're going to have to be patient with others. Right? He said, above all, I'm not digressing. He said, above all, love one another fervently. I'm talking about serving. We serve because we love one another. Amen. We serve because I love you and I have gifts in me that I know you need. Right? God has put us together in a body for the purpose of. Sometimes I need SCOBY sauce in my life, right? Sometimes you need Harper sauce in your life. Are you with me? I have a grace on my life that can minister to you, and you have a grace on your life that can minister to me, and it's out of love for one another that we serve. Love is patient. Love is kind. Are you with me? You can be kind. You can be very unkind too. But love, if you're loving somebody, you're kind. You might not like what they say. You might not like how somebody raises their kids. Don't mean you can't be kind. Come on, somebody. Instead of, watch. Oh, here we go. Love does not envy or boast. I don't know why I couldn't. I don't know why they always give her them. And that's not love. Above all, love one another. Right? You're learning to serve someone else by walking in love. Watch now. Love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant. Funny to me how sometimes even guys up here, people like me, get up here and say some pretty arrogant things. And I'm guilty of it too. Sometimes I have to repent right in front of all of you. Nope, probably shouldn't have said that. You know what I mean? Because love's not arrogant. Are you with me? It's not arrogant. Or rude. Oh man, I used to fight with my wife about this so much. I'm just saying what's on my mind. Yeah, you're being rude. You know what? I was being rude. She was right, I was wrong, and I got it on camera. So I got proof. Right? Love isn't rude. Love won't be rude to you. You're not loving somebody. It doesn't mean you don't love them, but you are not actively loving someone if you're being rude to them. You married folks should be paying attention. Right? Watch this now. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. Uh-oh. How many grudge holders do we have in here? Am I the only one telling the truth in church? That's all right. All right. Fine. Y'all let you have. Okay. Okay then. All right. We'll see. We about to see. I'm going to see. I'm going to feed it to you. I'm going to show you. Oh, Lord Jesus. And the Holy Spirit jumps in and says, you're believing for too much to not forgive. Which, by the way, let me just bring this up. Lord Jesus. You know, the Bible says, fellas, the Bible says that your prayers can be hindered if you mistreat your wife. Your prayers are hindered. I'm a man of faith. Your faith ain't gonna work if you're mistreating your wife. Just gonna put that out there. Does not insist on its own way. It's my way or the highway. Mm-mm. Nope. You're not loving somebody. Are you with me? It's not irritable. Irritable. Do I have any other irritable people in here? Right? Don't talk to me till I get my coffee. Well, and I'll call Melissa out on that too, boy. First thing in the morning, you don't talk to that woman. She looks at you and you look at her. You acknowledge that you are both awake and exist in this world. And then you mind your business. Two cups of coffee. Are you with me? Look at me in that tone of voice. It's not resentful. Okay, watch this. It doesn't rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. I think this is funny that why would we even have to say love doesn't rejoice with wrongdoing, right? So we have this innate ability as humans, and I don't care who you are or how mature you are, that when you get wronged, and that wrong that was done to you catches up to them, there's a little part of you that's like, mess with me, right? Are you with me? I told them, and they didn't listen. Now look, see, told you so, right? But you're not loving them. What are we talking about? We're talking about serving. When we serve one another out of love. Are you with me? Love bears all things. It doesn't mean it takes everything. It doesn't mean you're a doormat. It means it bears up under all things. It means I'm going to think about a battle buddy. I don't care how hurt you are. I'm going to come up underneath you, and we're going to get you home. We're going to get you to safety. Bears up under all things. Believes all things. That means, it doesn't mean it just believes whatever's coming along. That means it believes, it's ready to believe the best about you, not the worst. I want to believe the best about you. Now, I'm going to speak the truth. I'm going to speak in love. I'm going to use wisdom, but I'm going to believe that God's going to show you, teach you, train you. I'm going to believe the best about you. I'm going to believe you're going to respond to God from the person he created and redeemed you to be. Amen? Hopes all things and endures all things. Hopes, is, we've talked about that, it's expectation. I've got high expectations for you. I've got high expectation. We're going to get through this. Even if you're on my last nerve, I've got high expectation that the Holy Ghost is going to keep me from saying something dumb and creating division between us. I'm going to look for common ground. Are you with me? And it endures all things. Love never ends. See that? Love never ends. It doesn't go away. Prophecies, they're going to pass away. Tongues, they will cease. Knowledge, it will pass away. Now, let's stop and talk about that. Has knowledge passed away yet? Then why would we say tongues has passed away? He's talking about when Jesus comes back. Watch, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When does the perfect come? When Jesus returns. They don't pray in tongues in heaven. That's right, because you don't need to anymore. They don't prophesy there either. And you won't need any new knowledge. It'll be the knowledge of God from then on out. When I was a child, notice the maturity aspect of this. We're talking about love above all else. Love one another. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now, we see in a mirror dimly, but then, when Jesus comes back, face to face, now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now these three abide: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these, love, above all else. Love one another fervently, using your gifts to serve one another and to be ministers, stewards of God's grace. Because love covers a multitude of sins. Are you with me? So we serve one another, and it's in our serving one another that we are enabled to become the servant that he created and redeemed us to be. Are you with me? And we can serve in different ways. You know, we all have different gifts, and there's lists of different gifts in Romans chapter 12. But I like to say it this way. I picked it up a long time ago. Can't even remember where. But time, talent, treasure. We serve with our time, one another. We serve one another with our time. We serve one another with our talent and those gifts that are on the inside of us. And we serve one another with our treasure, with our means. We take care of one another. We look out for one another. Are you with me? So first we serve one another. The second thing, we serve the city. I like to say the community. We serve the community. In the same way, watch this, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. In the same way, let your light, I'm trying to quote the King James and it's ESV. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Let your light so shine before men. So outside of these walls, does that make sense? Outside of these walls, you are the church where you go. Again, it's not an event that you attend. It's a family that you belong to. I'm a Harper wherever I go. That's my son, wherever he works, wherever he goes. That's my wife, wherever she works, wherever she goes. Well, you're the church. Wherever you work, wherever you go. Are you with me? Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14 in the Message. I like how he says this. You're here to be a light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this. As public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Watch this. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. It's by us being a light. It's by them seeing our love for one. Didn't Jesus say the sign of a disciple? He did say, Jesus did say, Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Right? Those who are baptized will be believe and are baptized will be saved. Those who don't will be damned. These signs will follow them that believe. In my name, they will cast out devils. They will speak in new tongues. They will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. He did say that. But he didn't say that was the sign of a disciple. In John chapter 17, he said, they will know you are Christians by your love for one another. When you look at what's going out online in the world, you look at what's going on out in the world, and when they look in the church, what they need to see is a very different culture of love for one another above all else. That we serve one another. We're in community with one another. We love one another. Are you with me? We're not backbiting. We're not turning on each other, right? You belong before you believe. You belong before you behave. And you grow and you change. You don't stay the same. You get better and better and better in community with one another. Are you with me? Our charge, look at this. Our charge in this community, if you look at Isaiah, the church is really supposed to do a few things in the world. Look at Isaiah chapter 61, verse 4. Pastor Jacob likes to say it this way. We're not just a church in this city. We're a church for this city, for this community. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations, and they shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. Our job is to rebuild what's been torn down, to recapture the things that have been thrown away, to bring redemption to the community, help and healing to the world. That's our job. Not to point out everything they're doing wrong. Oh. Right? Not to holler and spit and gripe and sweat and stomp about all the things that they're doing wrong, but to be a light about all the things that Jesus did right. And how he can redeem everything that they're going through. It's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. Look at Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 7. And work for the peace and prosperity of the city where I sent you. Pray to the Lord for it, for its welfare will determine your welfare. We're here in this community for a reason. The reason that we are here is to be a light and to share the love of God with those around us, to share his goodness. Are you with me? We don't preach sin. We preach Jesus, because Jesus is the solution for sin. And when you start to love and people belong and they come in and they begin to get transformed by Jesus, you can't meet Jesus and stay the same. Look what happened to Paul. You cannot meet Jesus and have a relationship with him and just stay where you're at. You're eventually going to grow. Are you with me? Especially if you're being pastored, because somebody like me or Paul will come along and say, hey, when for the time you ought to be teachers, you need one to teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. Come on, grow up a little bit. Are you with me? That's why we do honor, unity, and trust. You have to trust. You have to trust and be open with an open heart. Accept correction. Right? Listen, I don't know about you. I want everything in the word, and I believe all of the word. Right? And that means that I'm going to accept comfort and conviction from the word. Not condemnation, though. That's the enemy. Conviction just means you're convinced my life can be better in this area. I don't have everything Jesus died for me to have in this area. And you mature. And as we come together as a community of believers and we live our lives that way, it's like being a light on a lampstand or a city on a hill. People see that. It's different. It's different. Are you with me? We don't condone sin. We cover sin with grace, until they're mature enough, and then the chains fall off because they know Jesus. I can't fix your sin. And the Pharisees followed all of the rules and all of the laws, and Jesus was like, you're dead on the inside. Right? We're talking about becoming a person, a servant. And so moving on to my last point, be a servant. Look at Mark chapter 10 and verse 42. Mark chapter 10 and verse 42. Jesus called them to him and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over men. It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. And that's strong. Look at that, slave. Jesus said, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So when you become a servant, when you become like Jesus in that you are a servant, it reminds me, and we preached about this before, but it says in Philippians, he emptied himself. Watch this in Philippians. But he emptied himself by taking on the form of a, say it with me, servant, being born in the likeness of men. And that's where I'm going to close today. He didn't empty himself of something. He didn't give up something. He didn't stop being God. He literally emptied himself into your life. He poured himself out into your life. And if I'm a servant like he's a servant, if you're gonna be a servant like he's a servant, you have to be willing to pour yourself into the lives of others. You have to be willing to pour yourself into the lives of others. Your whole self. Are you with me? And that starts again by you being available with your time, being available with your talent, being available with your treasure. And I do have a chance for some of you. It's on my heart to just share. We've been dealing with the situation in our church where we have a single mom who is faithful in the church. Has been with us from the beginning, serves when she can, but she is a single mom and she doesn't have any family. And she's a hard worker, has a job and everything, but her car broke down and she doesn't have any means. So a bunch of us got together to help her out. And while we were doing that, one of the elders said, We need to not just take it upon ourselves to do this, but we need to give everybody a chance to take part in helping her. The Bible says in James, pure and undefiled religion is this, to look out for widows and orphans and to keep yourself unspotted from the world. Now, in Bible times, a single mom was considered a widow. And so we have taken up a bit of a collection to help this young lady to repair her car. But if you have it on your heart, I'm just gonna leave this, we're not gonna take up an offering or anything. I wanna ask you, if that's some place that you can serve, if you have the means to help out with that. We've got giving boxes on the back, or you can see Steve George. Where is Steve George? He might be outside. He's the big tall one. I think he's coming in. There he is, right there, that's Steve George. If God's put it on your heart to sow into this young lady's life, and we can come together and be the church in a very tangible way, I want to invite you to do that. And you can put it in an envelope. If you're writing a check or whatever, make sure that you write on the memo line, Benevolence Fund. Does that make sense? Because it will go into our beloved benevolence fund, and we will be able to use that for whatever benevolence purposes. Does that make sense? But I want to invite you guys to jump in on that and watch and see. It's not tithe, it's called an offering. But it's a way that you can serve in a tangible way. We serve one another. We're there for one another. I want to invite you that if you're not on a grow team, how many grow team leaders do we have in the house? Raise your hand if you're a grow team leader. We call them grow teams on purpose because you grow as you serve. You learn things from one another. You learn things about yourself. You learn, you know, that some personalities get on your nerves and you need to grow up a little bit. You know, you learn long suffering, but you grow. Are you with me? I want to invite you, if God's dealing with you, jump on a grow team. You might not like the first one, that's fine. It's our job. If it's not a good fit, what we're gonna do is the grow team leaders will identify the gifting, your gift set, and what you're good at. And oftentimes what happens, you end up like Kaida, where you're on 5 or 6 different teams. You know what I mean? And making everybody mad in all of the groups, you know? Just rubbing everybody the wrong way, you know? See what kind of a mess I can make today. That's Kaida. Kaida wakes up and says, I wonder what kind of trouble I can make today. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So let's do this with every head bowed and every eye closed. The Lord's moving on your heart and you realize service is an area of growth for you. And you're not condemned. That's not, if you feel bad, that's the enemy. If you feel drawn, if you feel convinced, that's the Holy Spirit. But if the Holy Spirit is convincing you that this is an area of growth for you, I want you to shoot your hand up and put it right back down. We're all gonna pray together. Shoot it up and put it right back down. I see your hand, I see your hand. I see your hand, I see your hand. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I see your hand. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I see your hand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And the Holy Spirit just reminded me of something I learned a long time ago from another man of God. He said, don't let what you can't do keep you from doing what you can do. Sometimes it starts with just a little service, just a little. And it's hard at first, but then you get through it and you realize you can do it. And then you get better and better at it. And then you start to build community around it. And the church is gonna end up being like veterans that come back from war. They've got a special connection because we served together in the fight. We served together. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but we're in a fight. The enemy is real and he is alive and he is duping the community and on in lots of different ways. And it's just our job to speak the truth in love and be love and be light and be salt and bring grace and introduce people to a real and living God who loves them and wants something for them, not something from them. And that starts with serving here. That starts with serving one another. And then as we serve one another, we serve in the community. And we find that we become servants like him. So let's all pray. Repeat after me. Say, Heavenly Father, I need Jesus. I want transformation. I commit to follow you, Jesus, to serve where you would have me serve. Make me a servant. I make the choice, you make the change, and open the door, and I'll walk through it. I make a new decision to walk through the doors that you open for me to serve. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, Come on, stand up on your feet. Come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Well, let me bless you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you, making you look like him, and give you peace. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and everyone said, amen. The prayer team is coming forward. If you need prayer or follow-up prayer or anything like that, please let us pray for you, connect with you. If that's not you though, guys, we love you. Don't forget about the opportunity that I mentioned. There are giving boxes in the back, or you can see Mr. George. We love you. We're believing with you. We're believing for you. You guys are dismissed.